حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. How much respect do we give to life? Just to make that understandable for us, I want to give the example of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam Hussein, because of the respect and the reverence he had for life, he did not want to disrespect life by living under tyranny and zulm. When we see the words of Imam Hussein, why he came to Karbala, why he gave his shahadat, is not because of the fact that he wanted to go towards Allah and shahadat is the way to go towards Allah. Martyrdom is the way, so you know what, I am going to give my life because I love shahadat and I want to go towards Allah. When you see that Imam Hussein, when you look at the reason that he gave his life, it's because of the fact that he refused to disrespect life and to dishonor his life by living under tyranny. When he says, Hayhat minna dhilla, that dhilla is far from us, he didn't want to live under this tyrant, under Yazid, because this would disrespect life. Life that Allah has given to us as a blessing would be disrespected and dishonored if it is lived under tyranny and under zulm. When he said, Hayhat minna dhilla, he's saying, I don't want a life that has the quality of humiliation in it. I don't want to live a life that where life is going to be humiliated, because life is too precious for that. Life is much better than that, than for us to disrespect it. And I want us to understand, how much do we respect life? This life that Allah has given us. How much do we respect life? Have you ever looked at life that way?
Give us a second, please, because they're not here in the back.
We okay.
Use this microphone, please.
All right.
They're not listening here in the back.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Good? This is better. All right. We can bring that one here. Actually, over here, it's too close to me. Yes, there. Excellent. I hope this is better. Is it better? Alhamdulillah. Salawat. So my friends, how do we look at life? Do we respect our life? Do we look at it that way, that I should not dishonor it, disrespect it? The first thing I will say as a prelude that will come later is that life is a blessing. And a blessing must be appreciated and respected. How much do we respect this blessing? How much do we honor this blessing? This is just for you to keep in mind. Let's see a little bit more about life. You know, the first thing that Allah gives to a mu'min as a reward for being a mu'min? What is the first thing that Allah gives to a mu'min as a reward? Jannat? No, it's not Jannat. Jannat is afterwards. An easy death? Maut? That is good? No, that's also a little bit later. But before even death, what does Allah give to a mu'min as a reward? The first thing that Allah says that He gives to a mu'min, He says, لَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا تَيَّبًا. He says, we give them a good life. A good life. That's what we give them. A life that is good. You see, this is a reward of a mu'min. His life is good. This is a reward from Allah. That life is good. Not the specifics of life. Not what you have in life. I'm talking about life itself without all the other things that go in it. For example, when do we use this term, life is good? You know, we use this term, life is good, when there are no problems. When we got money. When everything's working out. So then I ask you, how's life? You say, well, life is good. So life is good based on what you have in life. So we are looking at life not as life itself, but what we have in this world. And based on that, we decide how life is, instead of looking at life itself. Because life itself is good. Life itself is a blessing. Why do we need anything else to make it good? It itself is good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Understand it so that we can go on from here. Yesterday I was saying we should have a definition of life. We should have a definition of life that is such that we end up thanking the one who gave life to us. Meaning that this blessing should be understood in such a way that when we know what this blessing is, when we love this blessing, when this blessing is so good to us, then we thank the one who gave it to us. For example, if someone gave you a house, a very good house, a real nice house that, you know, you enjoy, it has everything that you wanted, a great view, everything that you wanted. And when you live in it, you enjoy living in it. You enjoy the house. The house is good for you. So now, when you enjoy it, when you have fun with it, then that appreciation that comes from your heart that says, thank you for this. You see that, what I mean? Such should be the definition of life that we have. It should be such that we have so much fun with it that we want to thank our Creator, thank the one who gave this to us. That's the way life should be. That's the way we need to understand life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the first point to understand, my friends, life is good. With all the hardships in it. See, all the hardships we go through, the pain, the separation, the poverty,
the hardship, the doubts, the ambiguity, all the doubt, all the things that make life bothersome. All of these things included in it, we are not even looking at that. We're just looking at life itself. It is beautiful. Life itself is beautiful. That is the blessing. We don't need anything to make life better. Many people, and you see it amongst your own examples, amongst people around you, they want to make life better. You see, everyone tries to make life better. How can you make life better? Life itself is a blessing from Allah. It itself is beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? You see, look at this. Why aren't we appreciating life? Why do we need things to put us in, to make life better for us? This is that understanding we want to reach. Parents raise their children and they do a bad job. Yeah, they do a bad job of raising their children when they tell their children that, listen, if you don't educate yourself, you'll be flipping burgers. You'll have a horrible life. And what they're doing is that they're teaching their children that, listen, life is not good until you make it better. Life is not a blessing until you make it better. See, that's what they're trying to teach. The idea is that, no, life itself is good. We don't need anything to make it better, my friends. We don't need anything. Why do I have to have money to make life good? See, life itself, that's what I want, and that's what I want everyone to come to this understanding. Life itself, what is life itself? And from there we'll go on. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Are you happy with life? Are you happy with life itself? Not your things. You know? Because usually we relate life to the things we have in life. That's the unfortunate part. You know, we relate life to the things we have in life. Oh man, life is good because I have so many things now. Bachelors say, you know, life is bad because I'm a bachelor. And they're looking for a wife. You know, and they think that their life is bad without a wife. When they get their wife, then they come to the Maulana and say, Maulana, what happened? The issue is that, listen, you have it. Many questions that we have that say, and we ask Allah, and sometimes it leads to kufr also, because we don't understand life. It leads to kufr also. He says, why did Allah do this to me? What wrong did I do? I did everything right. I used to pray, I make dua, do everything right. And why is it happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? This question you might have heard from many people around you. I mean, why did I have to go through this? It could happen to anyone. Why me? You see, this question comes up, right? Always comes up. Why is it coming up? Why is it coming? If we understood what life is, it won't come up. It won't happen if we understood what life is. It's the hardships in this life that make it beautiful. If you only understand that. Someone's looking for a wife and they said, I want to find the perfect match. The perfect wife, the perfect spouse, the perfect husband. You know what? Now this leads me to a tangent. It means I'm going to go away from my speech. But since it came up, I am going to go away from my speech. Just for a few minutes. Alright? Send us salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My friends, I'll just make a statement, a random statement, and go on from there. Random statement is this. Right? That there is no such thing as a perfect match. There's no such thing as a perfect match, a perfect wife or a perfect husband. What there is a wife or a husband and a relationship of a husband and wife that you strive to make perfect. This is the problem of marriages today. People want a perfect match. They want, you know, I want someone who's compatible with me. And when they start to go and get someone who's compatible with me, you see, it doesn't work out. The reason is because marriage is not about finding someone who's compatible. Marriage is about finding someone and making them compatible. Working and striving to build that relationship so that it could be great. This is what marriage is. You know, now, as Brother Hani, you know, he's in charge of the heavenly match. If you all didn't know, he's in charge of the heavenly match at Muslim Congress. This is, you know, where, for example, men, women who are interested in getting married, they come to get married, you know. They look for their heavenly match there. So, one of the brothers this year, he came to me and said, "Maulana, we have a worldly match, but we are looking for a heavenly match." I said, "No, man, you know, when you have a worldly match, it means you need to make that a heavenly match. The idea is you strive for it, my friends. It comes through your struggle. It comes through your work that you make a marriage useful. A man is known by the fact that he accomplishes things. When he undertakes a responsibility, he fulfills it. That's why he gets respect from his wife, because he fulfills his responsibilities. And so now when a man has undertaken a wife and a marriage, then he must strive to fulfill it and to make it complete and wholesome. This is the man's job. He needs to work hard now. This is his boat. He needs to make sure that he does the right thing so that he can make a household that is loving and has harmony in it. This is what marriage is, my friends. As I said, I've gone on to a tangent. And let me make a U-turn. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, my friends, again, this life that we have must be respected, honored. Anything that would dishonor this life and disrespect this life, we must stand up against. We must fight against anything that happens to disrespect of life. Let me read the whole hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says, "Inni la ara al-mauta illa sa'ada." He says, "I do not see death but as a happiness." I'm happy to see death, in other words. When I see death, I'm like, you know, excited. I'm happy to see it. وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمَا. And life with the zalimeen, with the oppressors, as a humiliation. It's a disgrace. I see it as a disgrace to live under a shade of oppression. See, this statement itself shows the amount of respect that Imam Hussein had for life. He viewed life as something to revere, something to respect and honor. Now, in order to understand what life is, we need to understand what is death. We need to understand what is death. We need to understand what is life after death. Why? Because without understanding death, then really, those who do not comprehend death or understand that, they have no comprehension of life. They are beguiled. They are deceived. They are hoodwinked. To think that they know life when they don't understand what death is. And this is why whenever Allah mentions life, He mentions death also. Life and death go together. And one leads to the understanding of the other. So we need to rectify our understanding of death before we rectify our understanding of life. So you see how I'm leading the discussion. So again, I'm saying, I'm just doing this as an introduction to build the blocks. Right? And the discussion about the beauty of this life is going to come soon. Life is divided into two parts. Life, and I hate to divide it into two parts, but I'm doing this. Life, we divide it into two parts. One is a very small, tiny part. One is a very huge, vast, enormous, eternal part. Two parts of life. There's one short one and one large one. And in these two lives, you see, we go from one to the other. These two are lives. And in between, there's a door that is called mouth. In between these two sections of life, there's a door that is called mouth. We have to all have to go through the door. No one can avoid it. Everyone knows it's coming. Everyone knows they have to pass through it. It's coming. Our understanding of this life and that life is this. You know what? We live our life here, but when we get there, Allah is going to give us a reward. I want you to understand what I'm saying. This is the understanding of life that most people have. Hey, I live my life here, but when we go there in the hereafter, we'll get the rewards for it. In other words, we view our life there as what? You know what? As eating ice cream. You know that, hey, we get the reward there. So when we view akhirat, we're like, I'm eating ice cream all the time. Or I'm drinking juice all the time. I'm drinking the wine of the hereafter all the time. Or I'm with my hurul een all the time. All of these things. I mean, just imagine this. To us, we don't view that as life. That's our problem. We don't view the akhirat as life. We view it as a place we get the rewards. I'm not saying we don't believe in akhirat, but the way we believe in it is that we think that this is a place where we are going to get rewarded. And Allah is saying, no, that's not the place you're just going to get rewarded. Allah is saying, that is life. This is not life, that is life. Inna dar al akhirah lahay al hayawan. He said that akhirah, that is life. What are you thinking? It's not a place where you're just going to eat and drink and that's it. You're going to be living there, just like you're living here, better. You're going to be living there. You have a life there. That is the life, not this. The difference between the two, understand it. Here and there, all of this together is life. And it's beautiful how Allah divided this. But I just want you to understand. I'll give an example so you understand, my friends. For those people who have a hard time knowing that why do we have to go through this pain here, and that in akhirat we say we get Jannat. Why can't we get it here? Why can't Allah make it easy here? Why is Allah giving us difficulties here? And you see, it is difficult. For all of you youngsters, it's easy. You know? The only thing, you know, for example, you know, alhamdulillah, if you don't sin, if you don't disobey Allah, that is an amazing thing. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made you a mu'min. That on this day of Ramadan, you are here in the masjid, praying, making dua, listening to ilm. This is a blessing. But those people, there are many of you who are just like you, who are out there having what they call fun. Right? They're having fun. Yeah, they're not fasting, they're not doing anything, they're doing all these type of things. We are saying that, Allah, why are you making it hard on us? My friends go out and they have fun and they do all kinds of crazy things. Why are you stopping me from doing these things? First of all, Allah isn't. He's not stopping you from doing these things. Don't blame it on Allah. Right? He's not stopping you. I mean, did he hit you on the head? Trip you on the ground? He didn't stop you from going anywhere. Right? It's we who are stopping ourselves knowing that this is right for me. So Allah is saying that, you know, you stop yourself or you'll get Jannat then. Allah, why don't we give Jannat here? He says, because, you see, I gave you life here. Didn't you understand life? He said, what I need to, what do I need to, I mean, what should I understand about life? He said, well, understand this much. Look at the different phases of your own life that you're living in this world. Look at the phases here. You know, there's a small phase that's called childhood, and there's a large phase that's called adulthood. How long are you a child for? Tell me, how long are you a child for? How many years? Okay, 14, 15, let's say Islamically, you know, 15, that's it, you know. You're baligh now, right? Oh, for girls, it's 9, right? They have to start doing all these wajibat, all these stoppages and all these things. That happens. But leave aside Islam, right? I don't want to talk about Islam for the next 3 minutes. Leave aside Islam. Just look at life without Islam for everyone. Without anything that has to do with Islam, whether you're baligh or not. When you are young, you are pressured. And look at the zoom that's done on youngsters here in the world. And if we had a little bit of brains while we were young, we would be standing up, making unions and having protests against what is being done to us as a child. We are forced, who did nothing constructive to build himself up. What will happen to that child when he grows up? Right? He'll be unemployed. Right? Unemployed, that's one. Right? He'll be on food stamps or, you know, welfare. Right? Or if he doesn't go there, right, he'll be behind bars. You know, turn out to be a criminal. Right? Because there's nothing useful he learned. So you see, that little time that he has a childhood, if he was disciplined, if he was made good, if he was trained, if he was restricted while he was a child, he could have had an adulthood that was productive and would have made him happy and proud. Allah says, I'm giving you this example in life to understand about the life of dunya and the life of akhirat. In this life of dunya, why do you think that I'm restricting you here? Why do you think that I'm putting stoppages on you here? That I don't let you whatever do whatever you want here? It's only because I want your life that is eternal to be happy and that you can be proud of. That's why I'm doing this for. These restrictions, these haram things, these wajib things. It's not because Allah, you know, He likes you to do these things. You know, that He's having a, He's getting a kick out of doing these things. Allah is not a sadist, you know, that He wants to make people do things. You know, that, yeah, I'm going to give them trouble and hardship, you know, and have fun watching them, you know. No, of course not. You know, do we as parents enjoy restricting our children and seeing them cry when they're not happy with our decision? No, it makes us sad, but you know what will make us more sad is if they become corrupted adults. That will make us more sad. And that will really make us sad. That's the reason why this childhood, we restrict them in order that in the adult life that they can live for a longer time in happiness. Allah is doing the same thing to us. He's saying, listen, here I'm restricting you so that in the akhirat you can enjoy. And that enjoyment is forever. We will come to that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Everything you want. Everything you want. You know what? I guess 5 more minutes. I wanted to stop it here. But just one more thing. I'll let you off the hook. Right? Let you off the hook. One more thing. My friends, you know, are you happy with life? Really? And be honest. Don't be like, you know, are you happy? If I ask you this question, answer right away in your mind. Are you happy with life? I don't think. Right? Thinking you do in classrooms. Right? When you're in the majlis and on the, you know, listening to a member, we are real here. Because, you know, when you think, then your mind makes up things to say. What is the right thing to say? Let me say the right thing. Not what you really believe in. Here we are being honest. We're being real. Are you happy with the way you are? Do you want to be different? Do you want something to be different? Do you want to be taller? Right? Do you want to be stronger? Imagine this. I mean, all of us, I'm saying it. Really. Do you want to have more hair? When you look at yourself in the mirror, are you happy with the way you look? Do you think you need a nose job? Anything. Look at yourself and just imagine yourself. Are you happy with the way you are? You know, if there's a different person that you want to see, if there's something different you want to see. People spend a lot of money for it, you know that. You know, meaning if they don't have hair, you know how much money you spend to get hair? Or if you need a nose job or whatever, you know. In order to change yourself for the better. They spend a lot of money, right? So now, whatever you are, then when you look in the mirror, it's Allah who made you like that. So if you're not happy, you have the right to complain to Allah. If you're not happy with the way you are, you have the right to complain to Allah. And Allah also gives you that right. He says, complain to me. He said, you have a complaint? Yes, Allah, I have this complaint. You know, why didn't you make me 6 inches taller? Why didn't you make me 6 inches taller? And I says, all right, you know. You want to be 6 inches taller? All right. Allah, you know, I mean, you know, I wanted to be a little bit stronger. Broader shoulders. You know, whatever. And I said, all right, you want that? He says, yes. And you can give a list to Allah. And Allah says, it's all right. Give it to me. Tell me what you want. You want to have a different look? You want to have a different way? You want to look differently and be differently? Then you are perfectly all right having that wish. I made you here like this. If you don't like it, then I will give you a sketch pad and a pen. You draw the way you want to look. Do it. You draw the way you want to look. You make your own self the way you like it. I have nothing. I will make you the way you write it down. Tell me what you want. Write it down. Draw it. Make it the way you want it. Whatever your dream is, let me know. And you know what? I have given that to you. This make that you have right now, that we have right now when we look in the mirror, this is only for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. I'm giving you the sketch pad and the pen so that you can look the way you want to forever. My friends, the choice is in our hands. Allah gave this body and He gave this face and He gave this looks to us temporary. If you don't like it, change it. Because this dunya is the place where you change it. Akhirat is the place where you'll see what changes you made. It's your choice. You make your the way you like to. This is Akhirat. Make yourself the way you want to. You want to do it? Make it. Get your heart's wishes out. Whatever you want to do, make it. Allah is saying this, and I will do it for you. I will make you the way you want to forever. This is the choice you have in life. I will stop over here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.